Ephesians chapter number 6. Ephesians 6 tonight. As you turn to Ephesians 6, I'm going to read to you James chapter number 4. Verse 7, James 4, 7 says this, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Ever hear that phrase, easier said than done? Yeah. Just resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Oh yeah, sure, no problem. I'm going to need some help, Lord. Ephesians chapter number 6 tonight. Finally, my brethren, starting in verse 10. Don't you like when someone starts a conversation with finally? Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight. God, thank you. Thank you for that stone being rolled away. Thank you for the victory. Victory over our sin. God, thank you for what that cross did. God, thank you that I can call you my Savior. Lord, I ask you to bless service here tonight, that you'd be honored and praised. God, that you'd be exalted. Lord, I pray that this message here tonight would be a help. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Anybody struggle with the flesh? No, me either. Bible has given us some tools to help combat our enemy. As we venture into Memorial Day, I think of previous enemies, current enemies of our country, and how war was waged, and sometimes reluctantly we would enter. When you ask the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart, you are entered into a battle. Battle against the enemy who wants to make you ineffective for the cause of Christ. But God along the way has the opportunity to equip you and help you. Praise the Lord. And in our passage here tonight, in Ephesians chapter number 6, Paul is writing to the church of Ephesus, a church that we will see later on in the book of Revelation, some 30 years after this, with not the greatest of accolades. And I wonder, had they not heeded the warnings of Paul? John the Apostle writes of them that they left their first love. What happened? Did the cares of this life become too much? Did the attacks of this life become too much? In Ephesians chapter number 6 and verse 11, it says, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The Bible says in verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you should be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, and which is the Word of God. God has given us some help along the way. I would not want to enter a physical battle without being properly equipped. Some of you had the privilege of being in the United States military, maybe to some degree, to which, again, I understand that this weekend is Memorial Day. That is not your day. That is Veterans Day. If you're currently in it, I think there's Armed Forces Day. I understand it. But days like this weekend still bring to mind those that serve their country, to which I have utmost respect. Much of your training is not only about the enemy, but about your weaponry. Some of you have made careers out of the military. Once again, I say thank you. But I do believe that some of your time was spent familiarizing yourself with what tools you had access to, and to with the endeavor of protecting our shores. Well, as a Christian, we also have tools that have been equipped to us. But this battle that we're in is not a physical battle. It's not like I can call in bombs or missiles. I can't call in physical backup. I don't say, hey, listen, I need a tank right here, right now. I don't get that. What we get is, well, you're fighting something you can't see. Man, it'd be a lot easier to fight against something you could. The nature of this war is a spiritual war. It says this, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. If it's appropriate, touch the person next to you. I'm just saying if it's appropriate. All right. Grandpa, be careful. If it says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, that means the person sitting to your left, sitting to your right, is not the enemy. It reminds us that this is a spiritual war, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. I believe this with all my heart. There is a physical world that we see, and there is a spiritual world that runs parallel to it. So what does that mean? There's stuff going on around us we just can't see. So you got verses for that? That is a different study. But yes. The nature of this war is a spiritual war. Say, do we ever win? And verse 3, and the Bible says, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Look at verse 16. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Sounds like there's an opportunity for victory there. Every attack that the enemy provides, it seems like within this passage, there's an ability to withstand, stand, having done all, stand, quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. That's what it says. Nature of the war is spiritual, but there's victory. There's victory to be had. Say, how so? Well, let's look at verse 11. The Bible says, put on the whole armor of God. Reminds us again in verse 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God. Say, well, you know, the helmet fits well, but I don't want to mess with the loins girt about with truth. I'll wear the breastplate, but the feet shod, I don't need that. No, we don't get to pick and choose. This is not like a buffet line where someone's offering us baked beans and we're going to pass. No, this is God telling us this is what you need. So we go through this. As we go through this, the Bible says, verse 14, stand therefore having your loins girt about with truth. The loins, there's a belt, if you will, that would just hold everything together between the tunic and the different apparels. This, if you can think of it, it would be like a belt. And what does that belt do? Well, it keeps it all together. Our loins girt about with truth. Very important aspect of the Christian life is keeping everything together with truth. The devil is the father of lies. And he'll lie to you, and he'll help you to lie to yourself, and then you'll lie to others, not knowing, just re-quoting back some foolishness. Ever been quoted back foolishness? Yeah. Where'd you get that from? You got that from the world. Again, I told you this morning, went door to door over at Brockport Crossing, knocked on a young girl's door, and she had her hair all up in tinfoil, and she was getting her hair dyed, and offered her a gospel tract, and she announced to us, she said, "I'm an atheist." Right, hon? Tried to just say, "Okay, well, you don't have to come to church, but here's a gospel tract to tell you about the Lord." She goes, "I don't believe in God." You know what she was? She was lied to. Because that's not natural. Naturally, we have a desire to seek out God. God has left something vacant. Hey, someone sold her a bill of goods, a lie. Hey, Christian, if you're going to stand, you better bind about you some truth. Proverbs chapter 31, so often we make these parallels to men. Look at Proverbs chapter 31. Proverbs 31, verse 17, it says this, "She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms." Her loins, what was that? There was a belt that held everything together in the clothing. And the Bible says this in verse 17, it was her strength. Our truth is strength to us. This is the integrity that holds everything together. You doing right, living in truth, not living hypocrisy, not living a lie. Say, what does that mean? Keep it all, that's what keeps everything together, truth. Having your loins girt about with truth. Having, the Bible says this, not only your loins girt about with truth, in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 14, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. What is that? The breastplate is what covers your vital organs, your heart. This is your purity. What was it that gave David his strength? God says it wasn't his stature, it was his heart. Proverbs chapter 23, look there. Father wants something from his son. What is it? "My son, give me thine heart." There's something that the devil would very much love to grab a hold of, and that's your heart. It would like to steer you away in impurities and the lies of this world. And God says, no, hey, put something on there. Protect your heart. We're trying to help our young people. We're trying to help Christians stand against the attacks of this world that are coming at, it's not like one every year. It seems like it's 1,000 every second. And you walk out there without the whole armor, man, something's going to grab a hold of your heart unbeknownst to you. Why? Because you didn't have the breastplate of righteousness on. Protect that heart of yours. Don't be so quick to give it away. Come around Valentine's Day, I have a conversation with all our boys. Isaac, yes. I sit them all down here. I say, listen, you better do something for your sisters because some goofball is going to come by with a carnation and he's going to sweep her off her feet and she's going to give that carnation right back and say, listen, my brother, my stinky, smelly brother gives me a dozen roses. You better do better than that. Don't let some warm-blooded goofball that can't even tie his shoes sweep your daughter off her feet. Why? Because there's been a protection about her heart. The breastplate of righteousness. The devil uses love to get people off course. He'd love to grab a hold of your affections. He'll get you chasing things that don't even matter. And have you give your entire life to the thing. What do you need? You need the breastplate of righteousness. The Bible says this in Ephesians chapter number 6. In verse 15, "And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace." I was doing a little bit of reading about the feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. There were these nubs on the armor of the feet. And it would be kind of like what we would consider like cleats. Why? Because we're looking to be able to stand. So when the battle comes and I can plant my feet and I'm cleated into the ground, I won't slide as much. I have these pair of sandals. I love them. They're Birkenstocks. I love them. They're super comfortable. Had them for a number of years. They're indoor, outdoor, summer, winter. Wear them all the time. It's because I'm old. Nothing to do with the message. I told my Alexa the other day, I told her to play a certain song I like. It started with a commercial to Metamucil. Know what that means? That means I'm old. Those feet shod with the preparation, shod, there they were. They had these like almost like nubs around the outside that if the warrior, the soldier wanted to dig in, he could. I have a pair of sandals, and man, you hit snow with that, you're going where you didn't want to go. Hey, what are we trying to do? We're trying to stand in the evil day. We need some people with their feet shod with the preparation of the God. Hey, do you understand that when you're able to stand and have some stability in your life, what does that bring? That brings peace. That's what it says. The gospel of peace. Stability. That's not it. Above all, taking the shield of faith. Shields then, or some, I read this, were wooden, covered with leather around the outside to help protect against fiery darts. Approximately 2 feet by 3 feet. Sounds like a cornhole board. What's the enemy of faith? Doubt. Shield of faith can overcome the enemy of doubts. Why do some young people wander off the straight and narrow? Because somewhere along the way they didn't pick up the shield of their faith. They hadn't proven their faith. Tried to illustrate this last week with Samuel here, and yeah, there's a time when you walk by my light, son, but eventually you're going to have to find your own way. You're going to have to pick up your own shield along the way. You can hide behind mine for a while, but not anymore. You don't fit. Could be you, it could be me. I don't know. Hey, you want to defeat the enemy of doubt? Pick up the shield of faith. We're looking for some people that would be able to, with all the attacks, not turn tail and run, but to be able to stand. The Bible says, and to be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. The fiery darts, those leather-laced wooden shields, would protect the soldier from those fiery darts. Take the helmet of salvation. I remember Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. The mind of Christ. Helmet of salvation. Salvation will totally change the way you see things and think. Over the last couple weeks, maybe 3 or 4 weeks, a whole lot of foolishness has been going on social media about things that are just anti-God. You think, oh, here's what I need to do. I need to defend. No, it needs to happen. Lord Jesus Christ needs to change some people's thinking. That's what needs to happen. You're not going to win a political battle going banter back and forth on Facebook or something like that. You're not going to win that. It's the Lord Jesus Christ that gets inside and changes the way you see things. Also, the Word of God becomes meaningful and important, and what God says about things. Man, never mind. Forget it. We are this close to getting political here. That close. Helmet of salvation. The mind of Christ. Look next. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Is Isaiah here? Where's Isaiah? Isaiah. Doesn't this stuff sound cool? We love knights. Like, it's just neat stuff. Like a 12-year-old boy. This is their love language. Like, you're talking their stuff. Shields, breastplates, feet shod, swords. You had a birthday party yesterday, and I said, did you have a sword fight with Nathaniel? He's like, no, Chase. All right, I knew, because that's what boys do. That's what we like. Two sticks, all of a sudden we become knights. The greatest weapon against temptation. Say, is what? The Word of God. Say, how do you know? Because that's what Jesus used. When I studied the Scriptures in Luke chapter number 4, verses 1 through 13, when tempted, when looking to take out, when looking to try and make fall, how did he respond? With the Word of God. The thing that you hold in your hand is a great, I know it's an offense, but it is a great defense against the temptations of the devil. Surprisingly, that's not what the message is about tonight. I want to say all that to come to verse 18. All of that is important. All of that is necessary. But when we come to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18, this is where the strength of the armor comes. If we take all those things and we could upgrade them, how? By praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. This is what brings the strength. The prayer. And as I read over this list, I would dare say the thing that is our weakest point would not be our knowledge of the Scriptures. You could quote the verse, you know where to go, you could say it. It's not the helmet of salvation. You understand purity, you understand truth. But it's our commitment and dedication to prayer. Where is the battle won and lost? In verse 18. Through prayer. Matthew 6:6 reminds us that there's a place, there's an individual place that we would go and pray in our prayer closet. And what we do in secret, God rewards, the Bible says, openly. And as we pray and talk to the Lord as an individual, I want to take us to Psalm 128 now. The strength of the armor comes through prayer, Psalm 128. I'm just going to look at this verse by verse quickly. We'll probably be, by the looks of things, maybe 10 more minutes. Depends on how well you listen. If you yawn, it takes longer, Abby. You might want to get that left tonsil looked at. It was not good. Prayer. The strength of the armor. I want to read over this entire chapter. We're going to read all of Psalm 128, all six verses. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house. Thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children, and peace upon Israel. Our desire as Christians is that we would be able to withstand and stand against till the next generation comes. How is that done? Through prayer. What do I pray for? Well, let's look at verse 1. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. Hey, if you're wondering, how do I pray as a family, as an individual, as a church, as a member of Walker Bible Baptist Church, as a part of the body of Christ, Lord, help me to walk in obedience. A prayer that walketh in his ways. Pray for your children that they walk in the ways of God, that they obey what God says. Oftentimes, as parents, we make demands for our children. You've got to do this, and you have to do this, and I expect this, and we do those things. And man, if we could portray the blessings and the following the scriptures, you've got to follow the Lord. You've got to listen to what He says. You have to walk in His ways. Why? Because that first word, blessed is everyone. It's the right way. It's the only way you'll be able to stand. What do we pray for? We pray that we walk in obedience. Number two, we pray that God continues to provide. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Lord, continue to meet our needs. Verse 3, thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, and thy children, thy olive plants round about thy table. Again, that there'd be a commitment to walking with God. John chapter 15, verse 4, it says, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I've spoken to a lot of families, a lot of individuals, and they don't even know how to pray for one another. I don't even know what to pray for anymore. I don't even know what to say to God. Yes, we want to be able to stand. Yes, we want all of that, the full armor of God. We want all those things for our children. We want our littles. I was watching the littles over here, Charlotte over here, and Eli over here. Eli almost fell off the step. I saw that. You see that? You didn't see that. You were back here. Eli, did you almost fall? A little bit? You got a little nudge? I saw it. It was like... But in their faith, we want them to stand. How do we... I don't know what to do. As parents, sometimes we feel like, I want to do right. I want to follow God. I want a Christian home. But what does that look like? What do I do for that? Hey, what is your prayer time as a family like? Out of everything, I bet, if it's like anything else, it will be your weakest point. The strength of the family, the strength of the Christian, relies on how serious prayer is. It is the strength of the armor. In Psalm 128 and verse 4, it says, behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. Ladies, you want to pray for your husband? You want to pray for your pastor? You want to pray for our deacons? Pray that they continue to fear the Lord. There's something in here for everybody. The ladies, to be fruitful by the sides of thine, be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, the children, right? Even grandchildren, dads, what is the most important? What do we need for you? That you care what God thinks. The kids, they're going to push. You're going to draw a line and immediately they're going to try and erase it. That's dadding. That's parenting. Is dadding a verb? It is now. That's parenting. What's wrong with my kids? I make a rule and they push against it. No kidding. So did you. Know what they need? They need a dad that fears God. Don't care about every whim that, yes, we consider our children and we're considerate of that, but we got to be careful that we not take that so into account that we fail to wander or that we wander away from the things of God. What's most important? That you fear the Lord. Well, Susie, just, little Lydia doesn't like it when we, okay, but God says, and as the dad, I fear God more than, no offense, Lydia, although I've seen her upset one time. So I don't know how to pray for my husband. Pray that he fears God, because that'll right a lot of wrongs. Verses 5 and 6, that will stick with it. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children. Peace upon Israel. Some of you have had the privilege of seeing your children's children walk in the things of God. I can't imagine the joy that that brings to your heart. Because having done all, stand. Pray that one another stick with it. As we read in Ephesians chapter number 6, go back there again. Ephesians chapter number 6 and verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Are you watching out for the other saints? Are you praying for one another? Lord, help us as a church body. Help me as an individual to walk in obedience. Help, please continue to provide. Help me to walk with the Lord. Help me to help our men to fear God. Help our kids to stick with it. We read the list of the armor. But may we not stop with verse 17. It seems what keeps that whole thing together is verse 18. Praying always. Tonight we're going to have a time of prayer. I invite you to come forward. It's an invitation. Say, I don't even know how to pray. That we would walk in obedience. That God, you'd continue to provide. That we would walk with the Lord. That our men would fear God. And that our young people would stick with it. Having done all, to stand. All of those things are important. All of those things, as we put on the whole armor of God. But what gives it its power? It's the prayer. Once again, unfortunately, I feel like in families, the weakest point of our Christian families isn't our Bible knowledge, isn't our church attendance. It is our prayer. So as a church, as individuals, will we commit to these things? Let's all stand. So often we come to the end of ourselves having not knowing what else to do, and we look at it and say, what else can I do? I guess I'll pray. No, we should be praying always. May we never neglect prayer in our life. Pray for ourselves, pray for others, for all saints. Maybe your family has somewhat neglected power of prayer. If you want to grab a kid or somebody, and maybe as a family you want to come and pray together. Lord, help us to walk in your ways. Mom, maybe you want to come and pray for Dad and pray that he fears God. Pray for the little ones that they would stick with it. Maybe you as an individual want to come and just say, God, I don't want to wander. Lord, help me to walk in your ways. Help me to be obedient to that. As part of this body, as a child of God, I don't want to quit. I don't want to be taken out by the attacks of the devil. Praying always with all prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight. Thank you for this passage. God, our desire is to please, honor, and glorify you. And God, Lord, we don't want to be a casualty. We don't want to care more about the things of this world than we do you. Lord, I pray that you'd help us tonight. Help us as families, help us as individuals make a commitment to pray always for one another and for our walk. God, we would be wise to temptations, and that we would have the wherewithal in our mind to be able to defeat these things. Lord, it's hard. Oftentimes it comes from within and I can't even see it. Lord, help us to equip ourselves with the breastplate of righteousness. Lord, help us to think like you. Help us to win those battles within. Lord, we need your help here tonight. Lord, bless this time of invitation now in Jesus' name. Amen. As the music plays, would you consider the message here tonight?